Typically, a compensation package of a nurse is very traditional. But what if we really make a multi-generational comp package and think about a nurse starting may not want what a nurse retiring is going to want in benefits? Could we look at childcare? Could we look at time off in between assignments as a package? What is your 401k? What are incentives, tuition reimbursement? There's things along our journey that are important to us, and being able every year to pick and choose different things that are important to us to support our professional journey, I think would be a big win for the profession. But traditionally, it's here's your comp package, and it's just one size fits all. So that's another creative way that we could think about incentivizing or supporting the workforce that maybe isn't just about money, but it's about all these different offerings that will help them feel the support and flexibility they're looking for.
That is Danny Bowie, Vice President of Clinical Strategy at Trusted Health. Join me in this episode as we talk about the different strategies we can do to build back the nursing workforce with a new lens. Tune in as we discuss key points and important insights in today's nursing workforce.
Welcome to the Insightful Nurse Leader. This is a podcast by nurse leaders for nurse leaders. This show is focused on assisting leaders become effective managers and change facilitators. I'm your host, Miles Perilla. Join me every week as I speak with fellow nurse leaders, share insights, lessons learned, and practical advice. So, whether you're a seasoned frontline leader, a budding charge nurse, an experienced manager, or executive, you don't want to miss this.
Welcome to our 15th episode of the Insightful Nurse Leader. Our guest today is the Vice President of Clinical Strategy at Trusted Health, the career marketplace for healthcare professionals. She helps health systems transform their nursing workforce programs to achieve greater efficiency and flexibility to empower the frontline nurse and manager. Danny Bowie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Miles. It's a pleasure being here.
Awesome. Thank you for being here. So when we connected on LinkedIn, one of the main things that really interested me in your background is your work on predictive nurse scheduling and really your focus on workforce management. Can you tell us a little bit more about how you started this work?
Absolutely. I will start with saying it was unexpected. I've been a nurse for over 15 years and I've practiced at the bedside. I've been a charge nurse and I became a nurse manager back in 2013. I managed a 27-bed step-down unit. And as I became that nurse manager, I really got, thrown into staffing, scheduling at a new level. And I had to start to build my unit schedule, think about the LOAs, the vacancies, things that, as a charge nurse, I would experience on a daily basis with who was showing up, but I didn't know what it took to manage it. And so as a nurse manager, I started to build a schedule and it took me a ton of time and I didn't have the data I needed to make it effective. And I saw historically we were building the schedule with the same number of nurses every day and for day and night. And that didn't make any sense to me. Instinctually, I knew we're not doing this right. And I knew it because we would have over understaffed situations. And so I just kept thinking there's got to be a better way to do this, but I wasn't given the tools or analytics to really effectively do that. So that sparked the question in me of how can we do this better? It shouldn't be this hard. And why don't I have the analytics supporting the work that I'm doing so that I can build the best schedule needed to care for patients and to support my nurses? And I would say when I was a nurse manager, I didn't solve it. I just thought about it a lot. I actually transitioned from being a nurse manager to a system director over 8 hospitals and their central staffing and scheduling. And I entered into my doctoral journey at that time as well. And it was really that transition of having 2 years of doing the work, being frustrated, working really, really hard, still not getting those outcomes that caused me to ask the question in my doctoral journey to say, what tools exist out there to help a nurse manager build better schedules? And if there aren't tools, can we build one? And so I spent 3 years researching the problem, researching the tools, and trying to find solutions to help our nurse managers. So those were some of the pivotal moments that led me into pursuing that. But You know, I can go deeper into what I was doing when I was at Legacy Health as their system director. You know, the journey is really intertwined, and there's been different junctures along the way that continue to cause me to ask questions and go deeper into workforce and how to manage it more effectively.
Thank you for sharing that. How do you think how valuable that is in our current healthcare space right now with the appropriate amount of workforce management in effectively delivering care?
It's critical. So the doctoral journey, I did build a predictive model, and it was specifically focused on scheduling to help managers effectively build better schedules with analytics, looking at historical trends. And I really piloted this on one unit to see, let's adjust those rates or the number of nurses that you schedule every day and trend it better. And so I was able to show outcomes associated with this predictive model where we were scheduling better. But the workforce continuum is made up of a couple different stages that I think are important to call out. And as we think about how do we manage a workforce and how do we go after the flexibility that our workforce is truly looking for, we need to have different junctures and processes and tools in place to be effective as nurse leaders and as a health system. And so I focus specifically on scheduling, and that's going to be you build a 6-week schedule and then you publish that schedule as an example. And then you move into the staffing phase, which is where you're trying to recover any changes that are made to the schedule because of unexpected vacancies, LOAs, sick calls, you name it, we know it as nurse leaders. And that is the bulk of the work, is recovering once the schedule is built and getting us to the day of, to ensure that you have the right nurse at the right place at the right time. And that is where I've been pursuing this journey of looking at technology and trying to find a way to do that better with different operating models, as well as what exists in the industry today to help support nurse managers. And that's actually another pivotal moment in my career and how I, you know, left Bonsecours Mercy Health, a great team. We did a lot of great work around flexibility and joined Trusted Health because I saw this unique staffing technology that I felt like was going to give time back to the frontline manager and create efficiencies of matching the right nurse to the right shift at the right time and making it easy for the frontline as well to live in a space of flexibility and not have to get multiple messages. So it's imperative, but it's also, we have to look at it holistically and look at the schedule, look at the staffing process, and also look at the programs that health systems are using to create that flexibility. And I can dive deeper into the programs. I can dive deeper into the technology. It all needs to come together for effective management and innovation and change in this space that's, you know, so imperative, and to help our nurses who are definitely burned out and experiencing negative ramifications of understaffing.
Got it. Thank you for sharing that. So, follow-up question. Considering the current state of the nursing workforce right now, nationally or even, you know, globally, obviously the most obvious thing is we are understaffed and a lot of transition and happening to different careers or just retiring early, what have you. Can you describe the state of the nursing workforce right now and the innovative approaches that health systems and nurse leaders need to consider for the future or even now?
Yeah. The state of the nursing workforce, it's pretty bleak right now, and it's still looking even bleaker as we peer off into the horizon. What we've seen across the last couple of years is a variety of things that have led to what we're experiencing today and what we're heading in into the future. We saw astronomical jumps in nursing turnover across our nation. So right now, hospitals currently stand on average at 27.1%. for nurse turnover. And that's an all-time high for us. And that's a very painful metric that we're experiencing because that typically means understaffing. It also means lots of churn that managers are trying to recover, hire into those positions, orient, precept. So that statistic alone is very impactful to what we're experiencing in our current operations today. Additionally, health systems have been trying to plug the holes of the understaffing that we experienced with the turnover, but also COVID, with using travelers, and offering high levels of incentives. And that has led to very expensive cost and blown operating budgets for our health systems. So lots of spend, and we're still not getting the outcomes that we need. And then the workforce at times is feeling alienated of overworked, understaffed. I'm looking for flexibility. Somehow you're not offering that to me. Why it shouldn't be this hard? You know, this is happening in other industries. And it's just creating kind of this perfect storm for health systems to really need to think strategically and put some time around this and energy and resources. Additionally, one thing I want to call out, just as I talk about more of the operations and what we're experiencing, also our workforce internally, as we've seen through different surveys and results, in particular, Trusted just did a survey on mental health. Nurses' mental health is also suffering. Their well-being, the impact of COVID has also impacted the way that they're operating today. And I think that's another call out of the workforce is they're trying to recover from what happened the last couple of years, and they're not bouncing back as fast as we would hope in regards to feeling whole and healthy and that their well-being is supported in these spaces. So you're seeing just this compounded effect of multiple things leading to nurses questioning, should I stay in the profession? And if I stay in the profession, what type of work do I want to do? Do I want to continue to work 12-hour shifts, 3 days a week? Do I want to look for something where I can pick and choose based off of what's important to me? And those questions are top of mind and really important for health systems to consider. So that's really the state that we're in, is a variety of these variables leading to pressure points where health systems are scrambling to say, what can we do to meet the demands or the expectations of our workforce? It's all pivoted into what some of those, you know, low-hanging fruits can be that the health systems can go after right away to start to recover their workforce. And one of them I would recommend is definitely going after flexibility in staffing and scheduling, looking at new programs. Can you establish a PRN program powered through technology that will make it easy for a nurse to pick up partial shifts, shifts within an existing geography of hospitals that give them variety? So they're not committed to just, I have to work this amount of hours at this hospital, is a recommendation that I think would be really helpful. I know health systems are looking for internal agencies, how to compete with, you know, existing companies who are also looking for top talent. And so can we provide that flexibility across state lines with different type of travel experiences is another option that health systems are looking at. Additionally, it's imperative that we do also support our nurses with their mental health and their well-being and offering them things like wellness, stipends, time off in between assignments. You know, these are also key elements in supporting our workforce while they continue to work for us. And that is just a couple of different programs. There's a lot of things that health systems can start to think about. They can even look at their compensation package. I'll call this out. Typically, a compensation package of a nurse is very traditional. But what if we really make a multi-generational comp package and think about, you know, a nurse starting may not want what a nurse retiring is going to want in benefits. Could we look at childcare? Could we look at time off in between assignments as a package? What is your 401k? What are incentives? Tuition reimbursement? There's things along our journey that are important to us, and being able every year to pick and choose different things that are important to us to support our professional journey, I think would be a big win for the profession. But traditionally, it's, you know, here's your comp package, and it's just one size fits all. So that's another creative way that we could think about incentivizing or supporting the workforce that maybe isn't just about money, but it's about all these different offerings that will help them feel the support and flexibility they're looking for.
Wow, you've mentioned a lot of great recommendations there. And, you know, a lot of those things truly are exciting to hear. And, you know, I'm glad that Trusted Health is looking into those, like comp package, sourcing strategies, different way, or retention strategies, different way to cross train. And when I think about that, I think about like big, large health systems that have the economies of scale and the capacity to be able to train and float people to different areas so they could cross train or be able to be flexible. What are your recommendations on smaller healthcare systems who don't have necessarily the capital or the cash flow compared to bigger health systems.
That's a great call out. And it's an important conversation to have because there is different ways of operating depending on geography, size, health system, non-health system, single entity. And supporting our smaller or rural hospitals is just as important as our large integrated health systems that we see across the country. And what you called out, Miles, is true. There isn't oftentimes as many resources at hand or liquidity within the workforce, such as a large metro area. I do believe, though, that there is still opportunity to continue to tap into the workforce or the offerings of the workforce that they may not have thought of before. And it's more around upskilling, cross-training, opportunities to experience different clinical settings or even a professional growth journey. So it's starting with what you have today and investing in that flexibility approach that I think is going to be really important in supporting the workforce. So what I mean by that is, say a small hospital, 100-bed hospital, say their nursing workforce is 500. And, you know, I'm just throwing out numbers here. It's 500 nurses. And even regardless of their FTE status, there is great opportunity there to say within that workforce, let's understand their interest, their desires, and is there a way that we can do some cross-training in between, you know, the ICU, the ER, OR? Where is it that we have gaps and where is their interest? And can we stand up some quick programs to help facilitate that cross-training so that we can offer up expansion and supportive services? Additionally, I would encourage career path planning. And the other thing to think about is how do we build into the pipeline of our future nurse leaders? And there's really some awesome ways that we can think about, all right, you're starting as a nurse this way, and what do we need to do to help you move into a role of informatics or education, or you want to be a nurse leader? And you can show them different junctures or points along the journey that are going to be important to hit, like get this type of training. We'd recommend this experience. We want to help and support you in that. Building that into your workforce is a really important element of retention and something that will help them feel valued and also growth and development. So that's how I'd encourage our rural hospitals to also think is start with what you have and really think about how to deepen that impact of the existing workforce through some of those programs. And then also think about your staffing and scheduling programs. What technology are you using? What ways do you incentivize for shifts? Is there opportunity to create liquidity of a workforce with existing hospitals around you that can be powered through mobile technology as well? So there's different things that we can think about, but I would say start with what you've got, figure out how to retain them, figure out how to continue to create those coverage with the workforce. Talk to them, see what makes them want to stay there and build into that. It's really important we know what the workforce wants. It can help build into their experiences and support them effectively that way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's a lot of good wisdom there. You know, I really like the career planning phase. I remember when I was, years ago, newer in nursing, no one really showed me the path and how to become a nurse leader. And, you know, a big part of that is doing my own research, talking to people on how they've, you know, navigated through their career and reached to where they were at and which education they needed to go to or achieve and you know, which projects they plan to volunteer to be able to showcase their talent. So that's really insightful.
I agree. I didn't have anyone say, this is what you should do to become a nurse manager or a director. It was kind of self-taught, painfully at times. And I think mentorship, professional support and growth is really imperative for the workforce and building in those programs as well to help train the next generation, support them, transfer knowledge that you've learned through your experiences that maybe were self-taught so that we don't lose that along the way. And that we also attract people into wanting to be leaders. Leadership is tough and it can be stressful at times, but also really rewarding. And we want to make sure that we support those that are interested or even maybe people who don't even recognize that they would be interested, but are really displaying some of those leadership capabilities and call that out and bring them into the fold so that we continue to build strong nurse leaders at every level for our profession.
I agree. I'm glad that you mentioned that mentorship and coaching, because even now, you know, it's almost like we're in survival mode every day, and the coaching and mentoring seems to be pushed down the priority level because we're just dealing with what we have right in front of us. So that's a good call out. So with that, one of the things, the very obvious things right now in any healthcare space is a staffing mix, and talking about the mix of competency and experience, because in most healthcare settings, there are a lot more proportion of newer folks or new grads, what have you, relative to those that are experienced nurses, because either they've resigned or retired early or transitioned to a different care area. There's not much experienced nurses out there in the field to be able to even train newer nurses as fast as we could keep them. What are your thoughts on that, or strategies that you have found effective?
I've been writing a couple of articles around flexibility in particular, and that is one that I call out, is how do we continue to retain a workforce that has experience and the pearls of wisdom to pass on, that maybe doesn't want to continue to live in the traditional world of 12-hour shifts or even 8-hour shifts. And so developing the programs that will allow connection and transfer of knowledge. Some things to think about. I know there's telehealth models out there where a health system is actually, they employ nurses. So it's not a reduction of the nursing workforce size. It's more of a delineation of responsibilities and scope. So they have nurses that are continuing to be at the bedside and will do different elements of caring for that patient. Of course, assessment, ambulation, the daily care activities. And then they also have a virtual nurse that's really doing more of the care coordination, ensuring that we're getting education complete, and then also can support the frontline nurse, maybe who might be a newer nurse, when they have questions around, hey, I'm seeing this lab value, or the patient's looking like this. Can you just help me kind of walk through what I'm seeing and experiencing to make sure that I'm making the right clinical judgment here? So there's ways that we can bring in that expert knowledge through things like telehealth models that may be of support to the newer nurses that are on the unit, and being able to also close that experience gap that I know that the advisory board speaks to, which is, we do talk about a nursing shortage and projecting that for the years to come, but also the shortage of losing the nurses who have been working for years and all of that clinical knowledge. So how do we help transfer that over? So that's one way to think about it. Another way to think about it too is, oftentimes as I've filled out staffing and scheduling models for health systems, I often look at what are your skills and competencies and where do you keep record of those? Those are really important pieces of the staffing puzzle as you make a staffing plan that you want to know, you know, I've got this ECMO nurse here, I've got this telemetry nurse. But rarely do we keep record of maybe that competency level, you know, and you think about the Benner's model of novice to expert. And we don't keep record of like, hey, this is a novice nurse, she's been practicing for a year, versus this is our expert who's been here for 5 years. There's no way of really seeing that outside of just your intuitive knowledge and maybe like hire date, right? So if there's ways that we could also start to quantify that, I think it would be really helpful for leaders and also new ways of operating to build automation into our staffing models to account for experience. But right now we aren't really capturing it. So it's hard to put it into a predictive model or automated model that would help build an effective staffing plan around that experience of a nurse.
Yeah, that's actually a great thought. And if I may add too, especially it's more so prevalent in the West Coast, you know, from a regulatory standpoint, we have state surveys on staffing plans. One of the main things they ask are competencies and keeping up to date on that one. So having a record of that is definitely helpful. Follow-up question, you know, big part of creating staffing plans, being innovative and adjusting to the needs, also requires being savvy from a finance perspective. Are there any opportunities for adjusting how we do the financial modeling of our staffing structure, given that we're trying to be innovative and try to adapt, but then also the elephant in the room is everything has a cost associated to this? And does that mean that we also need to create a different modeling for
from a labor expense standpoint or as far as budgeting it?
Again, that's a great point, Miles. And it's something that I've been seeing trending in the news recently. You know, there's influencers out there like Rebecca Love and Bonnie Clipper. And there's been some posts around changing the way that reimbursement happens. In particular, nurses are considered the cost when really they're not a cost. And so it's starting at a bigger level. It's looking at the reimbursement state and the federal advocacy around that and changing that. So I know there's a push to really start to think differently about how nurses are built into the way that reimbursement and cost and structures there. Another way for health systems to also think about how they build their staffing today, if those models haven't changed, because we know that nurses usually are about 60% of a hospital's operating budget. So we're the biggest workforce. Often when there's the pressure point, health systems look at what can we do to reduce that. And they look at your biggest workforce and the spend there. So what I would encourage is that as we think about staffing, let's look at oftentimes budgets or staffing plans are built on average daily census, average monthly census, hours per patient day. And I would just encourage people, if we can, to get more specific than that. Instead of looking at average daily census or average monthly census, let's look at mode census, let's look at hourly census, and we can really better align the workforce with the staffing need versus this pretty generic broad brush stroke that then leads to over and understaffing. And that over and understaffing then has ripple impacts associated with incentive spend, overtime, agency use, where you may not have needed it. So I'm kind of going into the staffing operations of like, I'm hopeful that we can change the way that we reimbursed and that nurses are considered in that reimbursement model for the services and the care that we provide. And until that change happens, let's think about effectively how we can manage what we have today and better align staffing with supply and demand ability so that we're not overspending. And we can really encourage our financial leaders to think about, do not cut the workforce by number, but let's shift the way in which we're utilizing the workforce and decrease incentive spend, overtime spend, and agency spend, and replace it with regular hours based off of better prediction analytics and tools that can help us get there.
Got it. So traditionally, we do annual budgeting, right?
Mm-hmm.
You talked about getting more into the details and the hourly and the trends and you know, even going deeper to as opposed to just looking at the averages. Do you think there is an opportunity to change the budgeting models from an annual to a more, you know, let's say quarterly forecasting or rolling forecast in that regard? And there's not a whole lot of healthcare systems that do that, because if you think about it, right? You know, you're budgeting from the year prior, and the year prior is a whole lot different from the current year for however you plan out your fiscal year. And that impacts your labor productivity and the fluctuations in that regard.
I think that that would be really helpful. I think building your budget based off of historical trends, such as monthly census, monthly midnight census, or daily midnight census, again, continues to lead us to over projections, under projections that then we're reacting to. And in particular, we do know the last couple of years were not normal years. And those, the external variables of census changes, impacts on the workforce from COVID, we just didn't model for. So now you're seeing, you know, an increased spend that the health systems didn't budget for. It would be great to move to a quarterly lens of budget, forecast, projections. And that's where I do think we need, though, better tools, analytics, and repositories of that information to be effective. And that it should be happening, you know, there should be feeds of this information coming into systems versus, I don't know about you, Miles, but as a nurse manager, I was required to pull productivity reports every 2 weeks. I would do analysis on it. Oftentimes hand analysis, I would have to report why things were the way they were. So I spent a significant amount of time reporting because I was pulling the information versus let's ship that and say, let's get the info. And then the report shouldn't be a report. It should be, here are the solutions that we should be thinking about moving forward to get us out of this situation that we're in, such as look at our incentive policy. Let's look at the way that we're using agency and can we reduce that? Let's look at part-time, full-time, PRN, ratio equivalents. What programs do we need? I mean, there's so many other things, but managers are often required just to report versus what are the solutions to help us create or sustain long-term change around this space.
Yeah, totally agree. You know, I remember most recently in my leadership engagement, I helped train charge nurses to be able to flex appropriately on a shift-by-shift basis and have a variance explanation at the end of their shift. So when we have our charge nurse meetings or at the end of the pay period, you know, it's not, as you mentioned, it's not like, hey, you know, this is what we did, but more of what could we have done better, because it's all about learning. So it doesn't happen in the next pay period and we can keep on growing.
Absolutely. And you're right. I think it's also creating the adaptability or flexibility within ourselves as leaders, where we, if we need more, of course, adapt for more. But when we need less, we need to adapt for it. And oftentimes I've experienced my workforce was comfortable asking for the more, I need this additional nurse. But when things became less, the flexing down was often like, well, I'll delay this by a couple of hours, you know? And that has impact ramifications in the way we currently staff and the currently budget. And until we can get some of the changes that we just previously talked about, flexing down is imperative so that you can flex up when you need it as well. And so being comfortable to adjust is also really important for our charge nurses, our managers to embrace.
Mm-hmm. Agree. So, Danny, what keeps you up at night in your role as vice president there at Trusted Health?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, really what keeps me up at night is actually, I continually think about how to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. How can we solve the nursing workforce challenges we're heading into, we're experiencing today? And I think on the horizon are just continuing to build. And as I mentioned before, and I've lived in so many different practice environments, from a charge nurse to a nurse manager, you know, as at Bonsecour, I built flexible models, is that there is so many things or ways that we can start to solve this problem. And I've built models in the past of thinking about, all right, here's how we should be doing staffing and scheduling. Here's how we can automate it and power it through the existing technology I know today. But I'm peering off into the future and thinking about the future technologies that I think will continue to disrupt the way that we operate and the revision of the models that I've designed that need to happen. So I want to be thoughtful and mindful of existing technology, but I also want to press into innovations of the future just to continue to ask how we can do more with less and power it through automation and mobile approaches. And again, that's why I joined Trusted, because we're doing that and we're solving these problems. And I think about, you know, let's think about career pathways, gig workforce, PRN programs, weekend programs, incentive policies. I'm thinking about all of those programs and how we can kind of bring it all together that's going to make it work for our health systems. But the key thing too that keeps me up is like there's variation across every health system. There's variation across every state in regards of nursing license. So that alone is the complexity of how health systems operate, the variation in the states is why we're building all these different solutions and models. And then we have to tailor it to each environment because there isn't a lot of standardization across the industry. And I would say that's probably the most challenging thing is constantly adapting to each health system and what they have as their challenges. And sometimes rightfully so. Geography, demographics, all play a part in the workforce challenges and also the opportunities that exist. And so being able to adapt those models and effectively meet the needs and build sustainable change, I think is some of the things that are I think about every night. I talk to my husband, you know, after work and as we're cooking dinner, like, hey, let's think about this model. What do you think about that? You know, he's not in healthcare, but it's just a passion of mine that I really want to solve this problem and see sustainable, substantive change in this space for our nurses and leaders.
Very nice. You know, as I think about that, it's all the more important for this generation of nurse leaders really hone in on learning about analytics, even more on predictive analytics, balancing that, learning how that integrates with finance and in quality care, as opposed to just the technical aspects of patient care itself, because the landscape has changed.
Yeah. You know, I'll end it with this too, Miles, is I'm hopeful I know that we have a lot of challenges today, and there's going to be challenges into the future, but there's so much power in people, and there's so many great ideas at the front line, the nurse managers. The solutions are living in the people, and I'm really hopeful that those solutions will start to come out and we can continue to create the movement around supporting our workforce, the movement around solving these issues and thinking differently together so that we can continue to support each other in this really important work that we're doing, but also ensure that, you know, we're caring for our communities. Our patients are our families, our friends, and we want to make sure that they have the right nurses there caring for them. And so that's also a driving factor of, you know, what keeps me up, but also the hope that I have is that I've worked with some phenomenal leaders, very smart nurses. And if we can just continue to harness that energy and bring it together in collective forums, whether that's our professional groups, whether health systems give us time to also think and innovate collectively around these, we can solve these problems. But it's just creating that space and giving time to it that I think we need to really invest into as well.
Well, thank you so much for this time and pretty much sharing a lot of your subject matter expertise on this area of focus. How can our listeners reach you?
I'm on LinkedIn, so I'm happy to connect anytime on LinkedIn. Also happy to connect anytime through Trusted as well. I have some, you know, information I'll share with you, Miles, blog where they can kind of see more around the story and the work that I've published. And then also we can share information around some of these articles I've talked about, flexibility, internal agency, how to build incentive programs. One, they can either reach out to me directly, or I can also connect them with my team at Trusted through the Handoff website and podcast.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You want to briefly talk about the Handoff podcast, by the way?
Yeah. So the Handoff is a great podcast, which I was actually just featured on discussing nurse mental health. And I would encourage anyone interested in like workforce transformation, hospital operations, or any other pressing topics for nursing to subscribe. And they can go to thehandoffpodcast.com. And there's really great material there. We have blog information, articles, and then we do seasons and bring in different leaders to talk about important topics for nursing workforce and healthcare in general.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, and you have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Miles.
Thank you for listening. To view the complete show notes and all the links mentioned in today's episode, visit milesperillaconsulting.com/podcast. And before you go, make sure you follow or subscribe to this podcast so you can receive the latest episodes as soon as they're released. And if you're enjoying the show, please leave a rating and review in Apple Podcasts. Thank you again for joining me. This is your host, Miles Perilla, and you're listening to The Insightful Nurse Leader. I'll see you next time.